Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds a future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. God sent his son, they call him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to hold the newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still the calm assurance this child can face uncertain death because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth living just because he lives. And then one day across the river I'll find life's fight, the war with pain, and then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. I see a crimson stream of blood. It flows from Calvary. Its waves which reach the throne of God are sweeping over me. On Calvary's hill of sorrow, where sin's demands were paid, and raise up hope for tomorrow, across our path we're laid. I see a crimson stream of blood, it flows from Calvary. Its waves which reach the throne of God are sweeping over me. Today no condemnation abides to turn away my soul from his salvation. He's in my heart to stay. I see a crimson stream of blood, it flows from Calvary. Its waves which reach the throne of God are sweeping over me. When gloom and sadness whisper, you've sinned, no use to pray, I look away to Jesus, and he tells me to sing. stay a crimson stream of blood. It flows from Calvary. Its waves which reach the throne of God are sweeping over me.
And when
we reach the portal where life forever reigns, the ransom of grand final will be this glad refrain. I'll see a crimson stream of blood. It flows from Calvary. Its ways which reach the throne of God is sweeping over me. I see a crimson stream of blood. It flows from Calvary. Its waves which reach the throne of God are sweeping over me. You had to have a crucifixion before you could have a resurrection. But it's all in vain if people don't grab out and accept it. Like I said, Jesus came unto his own, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And his own received him not. They crucified him. They wanted nothing to do with him. But as many as did accept him, whether Jew or Gentile,
mm-hmm.
he gave power to become a son of God. Imagine going through life, only 70 years here in this life, and having missed this opportunity to become a son of God
mm-hmm.
in this dark hour we're seeing, we're living in. What a wasted life, not taking advantage of that mm-hmm. salvation package. I think about that a lot. Now it's the grace age is over. Now, it's still a beautiful picture. All you got to go is take that invitation to the marriage supper, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, take that invitation. That's all that's left to come out of this hell that's coming. Just take that invitation. It's for everybody, whosoever will. All you got to do is take it. God meant it good for you. He means well. I wish I could only have a way of get people to believe that. There's nothing left. We did a fighting, eh?
Mm-hmm.
We gladly did. But it's our job, you know? We had no option. Mm-hmm. I was thinking yesterday, I was 7 years old. And in my subconscious mind, I said, you know, if there was a God, if I knew there was a God, I would serve him. Well, the next day the Lord showed me there is a God. So I did have to make a choice, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If I really knew there was a God, I would serve him. Well, how do you know how to serve a God? But God kept me to that word, you know. I thought to myself, you still have to make a choice. Well, I did make a choice. If there was a God, I would serve him. I'm still serving him today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing what he wants me to do. On a hill called Calvary, Jesus my Lord suffered for me. Carried the cross on that day, my sins to atone. Then they nailed him to the cross. Great was the pain and the cost, and he suffered it all because he loved me. Because he loved me, my Savior died. On the cross was crucified. No greater love my mortal man has ever been known. Who praise his dear Then they carried him away, placed him in a lonely grave. Surely they thought this would be the end of this man. But on the third and glorious day, God came and rolled the stone away, and he rose from the dead because he loved me. Because he loved me, my Savior died. On the cross was crucified. No greater love my mortal man has ever been known. Oh, praise his name, I love him so. I am his, is mine, I know. And he suffered it all because he loved me. Because he loved me, my Savior died. On the cross was crucified. No greater love my mortal man has ever been known. Who praise his name, I love him so. I am his, is mine, I know. And he suffered it all because he loved me. Sounds like home to me, like where I want to be. There'll be no tears to fill our eyes again. The hills will echo with the story as we sing of his grace and glory, where the saints of God will be. Sounds like home to me. That sounds like home to me. Like where I want to be. There'll be no tears to fill our eyes again. The hills will echo with the story as we sing of his grace and glory. Where the saints of God will be, that sounds like home to me.
Somewhere just across the Jordan River, there is a place of lasting joy and peace, where the tree of life is blooming there forever. And a crown of life is waiting there for me. That sounds like home to me.
Back where I want to be.
There'll be no tears to fill our eyes again. The hills will echo with the story as we sing of his grace and glory, where the saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me. Now they say there's mansions there inside that city, and that the crystal river flows right by the tree of life. No pain, no disappointments there will hurt us. And Jesus himself will be the light. That sounds like home to me.
Like where I want to be.
There'll be no tears to fill our eyes again. The hills will echo with the story as we sing of his grace and glory, where the saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me.
Yeah, talk about the Passover, the resurrection. It's the season of the Passover, the crucifixion.
Light up the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. And here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you are my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all kings, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above, humbly you came to this earth, all for love's sake became poor, and here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. And here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
I will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will lean on His everlasting arms. I will rest in the blessed Rock of Ages. Assured in His shadow, I am safe from harm.
I will not lean to my own understanding. I will not trust in man's philosophy. When my world is wrecked by confusion, I'll run to the refuge of my knees. I will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will lean on the everlasting arm. I will rest in the blessed Rock of Ages. Assured in His shadow, I am safe from harm. He said He will be the light that lights my pathway. Time and time again, He has proven true. And
an ever-present help in my troubled days. Exactly what he said, that's what he'll do. I will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will lean on the everlasting arm. I will rest in the blessed rock of ages. Assured in any shadow, I am safe from harm. He said he will be the light that lights my pathway. Time and time again, he has proven true. An ever-present help in my troubled days. Exactly what he said, that's what he'll do. I will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will lean on the everlasting arm. I will rest in the blessed rock of ages. Assured that in his shadow I am safe from harm. Assured that in his shadow I am safe from harm. There's more in that song than meets the eye. I will not trust a man's philosophy like a world of confusion. When my world is wrecked by confusion, that's what that philosophy out there, that's what the devil intends it to do, to confuse everything.
Mm-hmm.
That Trinity is a confused picture. Oh, you got to understand it to believe it. You got to believe it to understand it. Oh, yeah. There's nothing there to understand. There is no Trinity. Contradict Scripture. And see, that's what the devil does. He loves to confuse the picture, so you never get to get a handle on things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Then he said he'd be the light that lights my pathway. That's all you need. He'll light your pathway to the... But you yank you out of this thing of confusion. Nobody knows whether it's... they don't have a crystal clear picture like you and I have. We got the picture clear. We got a lot on our plate today. We got that the Passover. We got the New Year. We got the... What we're trying to do is... We're trying to yank everything back to reality, you know? For 2,000 years, Satan has hijacked everything that God does. He starts with that baptism. He hijacks that thing and he perverts it 300 years later. You got Nicaron. That was his aim, was to take what God does and...
Copies it
and makes people fall asleep.
Yeah, and makes a counterfeit.
And then once he's got that down pat, then he could do anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking about that scripture and that second feast, one of the most important feasts, going. See, God allows the devil to do his thing, but before he could do that, he's given us a scripture. He's given us a feast, a second feast that for seven church ages. That's what it represents. Der Gesiert's Brot Iset. The Honorites, that's mostly the people we're talking to. They preach it at that Easter sermon over and over. Der Gesiert's Brot Iset doesn't say this, as ausgereitet werden aus Israel. He that partakes of leavened bread, that soul shall be kicked out from the commonwealth of Israel. It's a spiritual meaning. The leaven means the word of God. Jesus said so. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Their teaching was referring to their false teaching. And here, for seven church ages, that second feast, first it's been Passover, then that second feast is... For seven church ages, which represents the Greek age. for 2,000 years, we as Christians have one commission to make sure that we do not teach something that's contrary to Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
That's that. That's, you know, the minute you do it, you're partaking of leavened bread.
Mm-hmm.
The minute you go out there and teach water baptism and the tithe of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, like the Nicaean program, you're making yourself a partaker, and you're bringing judgment on yourself.
That's right.
The people, they do it wholesale.
Mm-hmm.
Satan has put them asleep. But see, you and I, we get the picture. The Lord took us back, and we got the history. We got the record. He let us know through the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson how important that second feast is.
Mm-hmm.
How these feasts are, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
How every one of them is very, very important to the heart mm-hmm. of God. Like they're almost like a gauge.
Mm-hmm.
And that second feast is one of the most important ones going because, I don't know what the devil will do, but before he allowed the devil to do that, he gave us a commission.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, make sure you don't partake of leavened bread.
Mm-hmm.
You don't mess with that word. You say it the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's well, we're still on track, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the third day.
Mm-hmm.
We don't go for all that junk.
Mm-hmm. And the first day, and like the first church age, and the seventh church age, are both holy convocations. That takes you back to the original, to the pure Word of God that was taught at the day of Pentecost, the undefiled Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the holy convocation, and that's what God expects in the seventh church age, to go back to the original. Now, people that know that and have heard it, like water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they do not follow what the Scripture says, they will be held guilty, liable,
mm-hmm.
for having known and have not done what the Scripture has said. Because in this church age of Laodicea, God sent a prophet to bring us back to the faith of the early church. And they are going to be held responsible because that word is going to be opened up. And all that is required for this church age will be presented to you. And if you don't line up with that, you have no clothing.
Yeah.
You are going to stand there naked, wretched, blind before God because you are not clothed with the clothing that you need for that time.
Yeah, that's why we're working 24/7 mm-hmm. to keep our spiritual sanity in a
mm-hmm.
world of confusion, and by the grace of God, He's allowed us to come in contact with the ministry of Brother Branham
mm-hmm.
at His end time. And first He took us through the denominations
mm-hmm.
and then through the ministry of Brother Branham, and then a lot of danger in there, a lot of people there just using it to build themselves an empire.
Right.
Then He took us through the ministry of Brother Jackson, and then when He went off the scene, He gave us His exam to write. And now He has entrusted us, you and I, with that delivering that meet and due season.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're living in the week of Daniel, and now we're delivering that living water. A water of life, come and drink out of the waters of life. It's for free, take it, just take it, and you will end up at the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
It's as simple as we can put it. But see, we had to go through this. 30 years He took me through this. Schooling, you know, and kicked from pillar to post. Like I was thinking, Jesus, when you figure it, he 24 hours, like it was open season on Jesus. Whatever man, whatever you want to do with Jesus, just go for it. Demolish him, mutilate him, whatever. It was open season.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's been open season on me for 30 years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not complaining because I had joined Speaker Full of Glory, but it started back in, I think it's 1991. It started when I went up against that system. The Lord tapped me on the shoulder, saying, I got some work to do. And it was open season, you know. They did everything that they possibly could. Believe you me, if the law of the land would allow it, it would have killed me. And I did not. There was no harm done to me. I just walk by the Spirit, you know. The Lord I never went into defense mode. I always was an offense. I had a great old time. And, there was times it was pretty tough, but big deal. But then it all was joy unspeakable, full of glory. And today I can see why. Exactly what the Lord created us to do, this very thing we're doing here today. We're doing it for whosoever will. Mm-hmm. If you want to come, come and drink out of the waters of life. Believe you me, we know what hour we're living in. We're living just 3 years before all hell breaks loose. We know the hour because the Lord took us to that school, that midnight cry, and we have the answer. And we know just 3 years up the road after this 3 year tribulation sets up. And you do not want your worst enemy that you can think of. You don't even want him to have to experience what it's going to be like to have missed the mass supper of the Lamb. And that's all my mission has been ever since the Lord woke me up 2 o'clock in the morning saying I'm coming soon. That's been my passion. That's my job. That's my ministry. That's all that I'm consumed with, the coming of the Lord. When you analyze everything we've been seeing in the last, since 2010 or 2012, that's all it relates to. Jesus is coming in my generation. That's the only message we have. And we're trying to get people to get to believe this here truth. It's nothing to us. I mean, take it or leave it. We're still going to get our portion from the Lord. But that's what we've been doing in the last 2-3 weeks. We try to yank people back into reality. The first thing the devil did, he had his eyesight set on that baptism, destroying that Godhead, destroying that water baptism, the foundation of Christianity. And I've been hammering the beating the drum for 30 years to these Hutterite preachers. I was in a meeting with them. I said, that baptism that you're partaking of, it's Satan's baptism. And it's from the Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church is the word of revelation. And if you baptize that way, you become part of that system. That Thyatira thing. But, you're not going to tell us what to do. Well, have at it. But I still kept pounding away, you know. Mm-hmm. Beating the drums, falling on deaf ears. It don't bother me now. I just do what I have to do, you know. Mm-hmm. And as far as I know, I did it in spite of what they did to me. I always be baptized 10 times. So I'm baptized once. The name of the Lord Jesus. There was only one baptism. I happened to just take 3 runs at it before I could find that one true baptism. Mm-hmm. And that's been my theme in glory. That's all I got to talk about. Is Satan went after that baptism, that foundation of Christianity. Acts 2:38, what must we do to be saved? Mm-hmm. Repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. And that's a promise to you, to your children, then that's far off. We happen to be far off back when that was written. Mm-hmm. Jesus looked down through time, and it's for them down there. It's for us in this hour. Uh-huh. Still a valid formula.
They don't realize that they go back to the Nimrod worshiping.
Yeah.
That's where the devil introduced that tree God concept of worship, tree person worship. The sun, the Tammuz, the mother of heaven, and it was a trinity form of worship. And what the devil did, he took Christianity, and he perverted it, and then he created this Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That is not a baptism. When you read it, what it says in Matthew, Jesus said, "In the name," it's singular, mm-hmm. but it has that name has 3 offices. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Who is that name? It is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only name that can save, by which man can be saved, and that is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what the devil was aiming for to change the Godhead,
And that's what he was finally able to do at Nicaea, Rome, 325. Now they started to worship Mary. Mm-hmm. They started to worship a three-God system. Okay? Three persons of the Godhead, a Trinity, where God is the God, Jesus is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. But it's God presented in three offices. There is only one God.
Mm-hmm.
And he confuses the picture. When you ask the Trinitarians, are you going to go to heaven? You're going to see God up there? He's going to sit on a throne? I do not know how actually their concept is to explain to you.
They don't have a concept.
They don't have one.
They just blurp it out.
Because it's a big glamour of confusion.
That's what the devil wants, mm-hmm. confusion.
That's what he wants.
That whole Trinity. It says, go baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Now here, they already had, when they baptized, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost. Then they add a little bit more, I baptize you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, mm-hmm. and God the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
See, they don't get it. It confused the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very simple. Peter, here's the key.
Yes.
Acts 2:38.
Uh-huh.
What must we do to be saved? Repent, mm-hmm. and then be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes away all the guesswork, all the confusion, mm-hmm. for the remission of your sins. Don't try to explain it away. Just do it what it says. Repent of your sin. Get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and then the Holy Ghost will lead and guide you into all truth.
Mm-hmm.
Just that simple.
Mm-hmm.
You don't belong to a club, you don't belong to nothing, mm-hmm. and nobody. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ
That's
now,
right.
and He will lead and guide you like He told Nicodemus. The wind blows where it listed.
Mm-hmm.
You hear it, but you don't know where it's coming from,
mm-hmm.
you don't know where it's going, and so is everybody that's led by the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That's like you and me. We're led by the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Against all the opposition we get. Let them talk. That's up to them. We're having a great old time.
Mm-hmm.
Because God has opened His Word to us.
Mm-hmm.
We know we're right, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But so, what I've been seeing all week is how Satan has taken everything. The new year.
Mm-hmm.
The baptism. The communion. The Passover, everything he has taken and he has hijacked it and he has perverted it, and that's why out there is confusion land.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know where they're coming or going,
mm-hmm.
but we're yanking everything back. We started 2-3 weeks ago with the new year. Actually, we've been on this new year thing every year. We,
mm-hmm.
we tell people that that's God's new year.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first new moon after the spring equinox. That's been our theme and glory, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's been our song and dance for the last forever.
Mm-hmm.
To yank people back and to get the picture right, because there's no rhyme and reason for a new year to happen in January, the dead of winter. There's no life in the dead of winter. But here, when you switch it over to the first new moon after the spring equinox, life is beginning to develop.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense for the new year, first of all. And then eventually, after 14 days, 15 days, comes the resurrection, the crucifixion, the resurrection. It's all got rhyme and reason, you know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But that thing that they got, it doesn't make no sense.
Uh-huh. And the I know in different countries, the new year is... like the seasons are different than they are here in our hemisphere. But if you look at it in the light of reality of the beginning of a new covenant, like when the Passover comes, the new year of it, the beginning of months to you, the Passover, and it's the beginning of a new covenant was set in.
Mm-hmm.
That was all what that Passover was aiming for when God told them the beginning of months to you is the month of Abib, when I took you out of Egypt, and it was by the Passover, He wanted it to be remembered, and what God did for them. And that the real Passover lamb happened in 33 A.D. Mm-hmm. And at the crucifixion there. And that was the beginning of months. There at that full moon when Jesus was crucified there at Calvary. And that's what God was looking at down through time, is because of wanting to redeem his creation back to himself. And that's why Jesus was the first thought in the mind of the Father when he wanted to have a family. The first thought that came to him is his son, because that son will give him his family. Mm-hmm. And if you look at it, how beautiful everything, it forms one great big circle, and God is always has a purpose. When the devil does something, it's to destroy and to distort,
to confuse.
And people don't even stop long enough to think about these things. That's why there are so many sick people. There are so many people that have problems. It's because their spiritual life is all one big glamour of confusion and a mix-up. If you get yourself lined up with the Word of God, these shackles will fall. They have to. Because the Word, the spiritual man, is made whole. And when the spirit man is made whole, the natural has to follow. Yeah. It's just that simple.
Yeah. It's all in confusion. Mm-hmm. And what we're trying to do is yank people back into reality. Mm-hmm. It's a very simple picture. We've had enough when we're saying on there how mm-hmm. in the beginning was the Word, in the beginning was the thought. Mm-hmm. First thing, how that came to mind in God when he started his big blueprint was a son. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing was a bright, warrior son. And then on and on it went. And then, that's like John the Baptist said, he was before me. Mm-hmm. He was preferred before me. Mm-hmm. Before Abraham was, I am. Before... You got to understand who God really is. In the mind of God, everything is a done deal. What he taught back in that great council in Ephesians 1, everything was a done deal. But the first thing that came up was, I want a son.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted that son. He knew he was going to need that son to bring mankind back to himself.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's going to create the angels, he's going to create mankind with a free moral agency.
That's right.
And he knew they're going to
mm-hmm.
fall, mm-hmm. but he knew he needed something to redeem them.
That's right.
And that all-in-one was Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Jesus is so important to us.
It is unbelievable, the beauty behind it.
Yeah.
And when you look at even the Passover, when you look back in history, they wanted those bishops, they were arguing back and forth. They wanted to change that Passover to put it on a set date, just to make it switch, just to make it not relevant.
Yeah.
And that's how the devil does it. So they refused. They were able to overpower them and just stick to their guns. We are not changing the Passover day. And that's that. And so what does he do? He brings in this Easter bunny and these eggs hunt. And people get so caught up with these things that they forget the real picture of what Passover should be. Just this do in remembrance of me, of what I did for you. That's all God required from the Israelites. He said, remember what I did for you when I brought you out of Egypt.
Watch these Hutterites mm-hmm. now. They got these long sermons just to distract the real picture of what this Passover is all about. And then Monday they have their communion, you know. And all it is, when you go back, you got to sit back and analyze what Jesus told the disciples there at that Passover. Just do this. Remember what I did for
mm-hmm.
you. There's nothing you can do towards your salvation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing it all for you voluntarily. All I'm asking from you is a grateful heart, and just remember what I'm doing for you.
Yeah.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this whole Passover is about. But Satan, what he does, he hijacks it, and he, oh man, when he makes a mess of it,
mm-hmm.
just to hide the real thing. He's got 2-3 hours of sermons and preaching, and just to kind of be, of course, what is the real thing? Just be grateful. There's nothing you can do for your salvation. You can wear a certain dress code, don't mean nothing. You can live on the campione, don't mean nothing. All you got to do is just be grateful for what I did for you. Mm-hmm. Just sit back, take time out. Mm-hmm. Well, we do it maybe 2-3 times a year, and we have communion, and we have we step in, we think. We actually, pretty much every Sunday, where we think what God has done for us, but especially when you have communion, it represents that leaven means simply the undefiled word of God. That's why we use unleavened bread.
Mm-hmm.
And then the wine, we think because he was bruised for us. He was mutilated.
Mm-hmm.
So I can have eternal life. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And that salvation thing. And people, it goes unnoticed. They don't take advantage of that salvation package.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, that's them as received them. See, you got to receive the whole thing, the whole counsel of God. We receive Jesus, and as time went on, 25 years later, he brought me to the minister, Brother Branham, and I got baptized in Jesus' name, and on to where we are today, simply because we allowed ourselves to be led by the Spirit of God, like it says back there. Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. You will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and then the Holy Ghost will lead and guide you into all truth. We're still on course.
Mm-hmm.
Whether people like it or not, that's this package. And we took advantage of it. We heard about a prophet. We accepted it. And man, it's been glorious ever since.
Mm-hmm.
It can't get any better. Well, I guess it will get better, but that's not as sad a... Well, kind of a little bit shifting gears here a bit. There's so much on the plate today that I don't know if I'll get it out. But I want to go back, I guess Friday, about 3 o'clock in the morning, I had a dream. And I saw these people. Try to get you, walk you through this thing to understand. I didn't know at the time when I had a dream what it referred to. But I want to go to this Autorite app. I'm going to go to see these, what I saw. I saw these people from Heartland. Now, these people from Heartland, before they split up, they moved down there, they were on Lakeside, you know, and they this whole fight with the J. Kleins and other thing. And I had just come out from an argument, or not an argument, but I just told my dad, and my father-in-law, I cannot support them anymore. In the meantime, here was this Danny and this big guy. They were going up against the Hutterite Church, and it went to the courts.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord already told me he's going to go to 3 courts. J.K., he's going to win the first 2, but he's going to lose the 3rd one.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord told me that I'm going to be down in Ottawa at that Supreme Court. How he did it, but when the time came, there I was, in the trenches with this Danny and this big guy.
Mm-hmm.
Paul is his real name. Danny and this Paul. And for about a year there, we were fighting this thing together. I supported them, you know, and a very few supported them. And I was, like I say, I was in the trenches with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to know that Danny, like Danny's son Danny, we were kind of the same age. And we had a lot of things to come. We saw eye to eye. We saw that Hutterite thing is corrupt. And it ain't going to, it's beyond repair. It can't be patched up. And it can't be, because it never was nothing. We saw eye to eye on that respect.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw here on Friday night, the Lord gave me a dream. And I saw these people. I counted them. There was about 30 men that I saw, like able-bodied, working people. I saw them there in the cluster there, and I just happened to drive by and observed them, and I looked at them, and their life is meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
There's these able-bodied men, about 30 of them. And their life has absolutely no purpose whatsoever. And they're getting up in age. And then I didn't know what that got to do with me or what's that got to do with them. It was just these Heartland working class people kind of thing. like I say, it went to that, but yeah, it was about 30. That was about 30, from 20 on up to 65, I figured. That Danny and that Divi, I had a lot to do with them, you know. As we were on the same page. It's just one thing I did. We went down to what it is, the Supreme Court. And he thought he's got to have a shot of whiskey in the evening, you know. Well, the Lord had already dealt with me on this whiskey thing. Already, the year prior to that, the Lord already weaned me off that stuff. So, I guess he was drinking with his dad, and they never did kick that drinking habit, you know what I'm saying? And I'll try to live an example. But anyway, we were on the same page there for a while, except for the drinking part. I was in the trenches with them. I felt for them. I supported them. I even went down to the Supreme Court with them. And here this side of the aisle, here's my father-in-law and that Jake from Starlight. And here on the other side is me and Denny and his crew, you know. But I stood with them. And I wasn't ashamed to stand with them. But here, when I had this dream, I saw these people. And I don't know, when I saw them, I didn't know what it means. And then when I got up in the morning and the Lord spoke to me, almost in an audible voice, like in my spirit, Sam, you never went back. Told him, Sam, you never went back. And then I understood what that meant when I saw these heartland, able-bodied, working people. See, they went, when you go through this whole smear with the hard right and the law courts and everything, and they eventually went back after they had won the court case. Then now there's a split. Now there's two groups, the Gibbs and the Oilers, the one and the twos. But now, what they're doing now, they're trying to make them feel guilty for taking this thing to court. Well, they were trying to wake up the Hutterite Church, and at the end of the day, you know what they did? The new group, now, they're going to put them through this Auschwitz. They're going to get them to kind of apologize for raising all that stuff. All they were doing was trying to wake people up that Jay Kynes is a crook and a criminal. Mm-hmm. And he's going to sell the Hutterite colonies if he gets some more. We had another 6 weeks, he'd sold the whole thing to the mafia. But anyway, so what did they do? They find them guilty for saving them, really. So one time I was down there at the lakeside, and that Danny asked me, the old guy asked me, are you coming with us? Where to? Down to Bloomingard. Well, what are you going to do down there? I said, well, we want to get back into the system again. I said, what do you want back in there? So you see, we've been in the trenches together for a year, mm-hmm. and we're on the same page. You know they're corrupt. Why would you go back to them? Actually, they should come to you, not you to them. Mm-hmm. That's, you bailed them out. Well, it's just the way it is. We got to go down and we got to ask permission to join the system again.
Mm-hmm.
Just to join the system. They're just as corrupt as the other group is. It's like that tree out in the front yard. You know, it grows out of the same root, but halfway up the tree, it splits into two trees. Mm-hmm. That's all you got there now. They're feeding the same diabolical, satanic, anti-Christian system, the Gibbs and the Oilers. It's the same thing, drawing from the same root. I says, well, I'm not going with you. I'm going to do whatever. I'm not going back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, they went down there, and eventually what happened is they compromised. Mm-hmm. They went through this house, this rigmarole. Now, this went through a process of maybe 2-3 years. In the meantime, I'm kind of in touch with them. And then I began to realize what this thing was about. Saying you never went back. And then I ended up, like I say, going through the trenches with this Danny crew, this Heartland crew, mm-hmm. eventually. But I never went back. Mm-hmm. They went back.
Yeah. See, what they did was, is when they were actually denying their own testimony and therefore saying, we were wrong And everything that they ever stood for was deleted and erased and obsolete.
Yeah, and we were in the trenches together. We knew that they corrupt, and he had overseers there, and they would see right through how that preacher, that he's just as corrupt as anybody on the street out there. We're on the same page. I agree with you. But now what makes them holy now? Now you're going back to these corrupt people to clean you up? And I asked them, what you're going to have to confess before God that you were serving the devil? Well, that's on their neck. I said, that's on their head. I said, they don't have a head. They got the devil. That's all they care about.
You think the devil cares if you go? He wants you to go back, and how you get back there? That's irrelevant to him, as long as you succumb to it.
As long as you confess you serve the devil, and you know very well you were trying to do everything you could to wake these people up. Now they got you. So they got nothing. I don't know what you went back there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they finally ended up here in Summerfeld, and they were on probation for 6 weeks or something. Mm-hmm. And I run into them from time to time. And I said to them, I guess you were in the front line there for a while. We were in the same page. You were in the front line fighting. Now I guess you proved unfaithful. Now I'm going to have to take the front line by myself. So they kind of made fun of me. Well, how... Sometimes when they'd get drinking, they'd call me up, well, how does it feel to be on the front line? Well, I says, I'm doing okay. Mm-hmm. What about you guys?
Mm-hmm.
You see, eventually they went back.
Mm-hmm.
Now they got nothing. That Danny and that Divi, that's the two people that stuck out when I saw that group of people.
Mm-hmm.
They died 10, 15 years ago because, see, they knew
mm-hmm.
exactly what I knew. I said, they knew... You can't go back. That's right, if I'd have gone back. But believe you me, everything was thrown at me to go back, but I refused to go back. But see, these guys went back. And then, a few years later, they died because mm-hmm. they were going against their conscience. I mm-hmm. told them from time to time, I'd run into them. I made it a point to go see him when he was in the hospital. I says, you should have never gone back to that thing. You know very well they're corrupt. How can you
mm-hmm.
how can you set an example when you go back to the very thing that you work against?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, when I saw that the other day, then when the Lord said the same, you never went back. See, when they were the first three people I was in the trenches with, mm-hmm. was that heartland. When I left, once I got up against these Hutterites, and they were in the fight already, and I just joined in with
mm-hmm.
them. Like I said, I went to Supreme Court with, and we were on the same page for a year. We fight together. I was went down there to work, and we had a lot of communication, a lot of things in common. And there, I found them. They're pretty pleasant to be with, better than my father-in-law and his gangsters. But anyway, so that thing went on, and then. They weren't on the same page I was on after a while. I had told them, don't go back to that system. That system is corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
But they always seemed to have a tendency to someday go back to that system. But anyway, eventually, at the end of the day, that's what happened. They got into his house, was William Road, and then they made him a preacher, and then they made a Larry preacher, the very one I was in trenches with. The very one we spent hours, how corrupt they are. And then when he became a preacher, I went down there to see him, especially put down. And he told me flat out, well, Sam, I decided I'm going to switch gears now and I'm going to support that priesthood. That priesthood, you know, call it a priesthood. The priest is supporting. I says, yeah, you know, they're corrupt, eh? Well, what are you going to do? That's my job now. So you're going to be one of them now. Now you're going to terrorize me.
Mm-hmm.
Start terrorizing Christians. Look, they did with you. You do the very same thing to me now. Because I'm not compromised. I'm not going back.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I just got another enemy now. And you're doing that knowingly.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, that's just the way it is. When he sold out, he's going to be preaching out there. And he's going to do the very same thing that they did to them for 3-4 years, however long this whole thing was. And that's what I seen the other day. When I seen all those people that were under that Denny and that Dibby's watch, they could have just decided any time in their heart, never mind the whiskey rule, we'll listen to what Sam has to say. let's break away from that system. And they would have been a beautiful picture. And all these young people that I saw the other day, there's about 30 of them, able-bodied, hard-working people, they would all had a purpose in their life.
Mm-hmm.
But see, because they couldn't come through with it, their life is meaningless. It's got no purpose. And those two boys, those two twins, that then in that day, they had the hardware. They had the goods. They had what it takes. They could have done anything. They'd be millionaires by now. But see, because they went back. I saw that, and that simple phrase saying, you never went back. And I'm like, millionaire 10 times over. We're more than we could ever handle. But simply because I didn't turn back. And that's where they would be had they not turned back. Mm-hmm. That's what I saw the other day. And I was kind of wondering, when I first saw it, what's that got to do with anything? It wasn't until the Lord spoke to me saying, you never went back. And then, that's that heart thing grew now. But I moved on, you know. Then I moved on to that, the next person I counted was that Dave Waller, that preacher Dave. And there again, I was in the trenches with him. And even the Lord used me to get me a car, you know. I was sitting at his place, and every day, every morning, every night, I had this burden. I need a car. I didn't have no money. I didn't have no bank account. I come off the call, and you got nothing. You got no record. And I don't know. I'm going to pray. God to give me somehow, give me a car. So anyway, I was down at that Dave Waller's place. I know I said it before, but I'm trying to walk you through. I never went back. These people, I was in the trenches with them. And then for a while, like I said, I was with that Dave Waller maybe 2-3 weeks. Went to their prayer meeting, worked in their church service. And then one night, like I said, I was sitting in this place. And the morning I got up and I got down on my knees to pray for a car. And there was no burden there to pray for a car. So what's the point? Like, the Lord's telling me, I heard you, I'm on it, you know, I'm going to look after it. So I come out for breakfast, and Dave said, well, the Lord showed me in the night I should buy you a car. That's strange, because I've been praying for weeks. And this morning I got up to pray for a car, and the Lord let me know he's taking care of it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we went down, and we got, let's see what the... See, they always hold back. They don't do what the Lord tells them to do. And they should have just flat out said, here's the car. No strings attached. But that's in the dream. That's what I had when I was praying. And anyway, he put $2,000 on, I think, or $1,500. And then I paid the rest. And then he signed at the bank. So I had to pay another $7,000. But see, that's not what was in the plan of God. What was in the plan of God, you buy him a car and be done with it. Let the shit fall into me. But that burden fell off, the whole thing. But see, people hold back and they never move on. Like, why did these heartland people? They couldn't get rid of that whiskey. Otherwise, they'd be in the same page out of that. And a few years later, they died because that whiskey killed them. And they got, somehow, their liver gave out on them or something. See, they could never drop that alcohol. And here that day, we could never drop that. We had enough money in the church account. All God said, just buy him a car, I'll look after things. And so he never came through. And eventually, I moved on from that Dave chapter. I moved out of the trenches. Because once he bought the car, he put $1,500 in the car. He thought he owned me. You know, I could feel that. How to write spirit still on him. But see, what the Lord's trying to do, he was trying to move him on too, you know. Just pay the whole thing and be done with it. And so there, I went on without him. And the next person I encountered was that Joe Waller guy. And I didn't know much about him. I just knew the Lord got me to pray for him one day. And he apparently got saved. And there again, we were in the trenches, him and I. We went all down to San Jose to get these ex-Hutterites out of that cult down there with that Jim Wainscoat. And, man, we had a lot of good experiences. And then we were down in Albuquerque, and he had to fly home, so about 2 weeks before I met him, the Lord told him, go open up an account, special account, and take out 2 visas. So he did, and he didn't know what that second visa was for. Well, down in Albuquerque, I took him to the airport, and reached in his pocket, and he was saying, the Lord told him to give you this visa. Yeah, well, if the Lord told you to do it, well, do whatever the Lord tells you to do. And there for a while, like I say, we were on the same page, same trench, fighting for this new thing that's coming. I didn't know it was up the road. And anyway, when I came back, maybe a week later, because I had to meet this guy down there, came back a week later, first thing, he asked for his visa back. And well, as long as I had that visa, I could see how God's going to bless that guy. He's going to bless his family. He's going to bless everything he touches will be a blessing, as long as he trusts me with that visa. That's all he had to do. That account could have stayed full. So here, he comes back, he wants his visa back. And when I reached him, I gave him the visa back. Everything that the Lord had promised him went up in smoke. His family, everything. Because he had a desire to get his family together. Everything dismantled. Nothing is going to work for that guy. He might as well have never met me. And anyway, see, he didn't come true. You know what I'm saying? We were in the trenches for a while, but I kept on going. It would have been a lot easier for me if he would have stayed true to the Lord. Because the Lord had a plan for him. He had a plan for his family. He wanted to bless this guy, but he couldn't trust him. Couldn't even trust me with his visa. Not that I needed his visa. It was just the way the Lord orchestrated things. Just like that Dave Waller. I didn't need his car. I went to the Lord for a car. He just used him so he could move him on to higher heights, deeper depths. That's it. And here's the same thing. Now I saw all that when the Lord spoke to me, saying, you never went back. You just kept on going. And over the years, I encountered a lot of people that I never went back. And then when I come to the Bremenites, I let them know, hey, that Daddy Bishop, he's just using you guys to build his own empire. And eventually I had to leave there. But I moved on, you know. And then the Lord moved me on to Brother Jackson. And I'm there again. Brother Jack goes off the scene. I see what they're teaching. I could have gone back and supported him, but I didn't. And the Lord brings me to Grace and Truth, and then they do their spiel, and all in that one place that the Lord said, right in the morning when I got up during the night, he gave me the dream, showed me those Heartland people, and they were like, their life had no purpose. Same with that Dave Waldner, his life has no purpose. Same with that Joe Allen, his life has no purpose. Same with that Josh up there, life has no purpose. All these people that I left behind, they had absolutely no purpose. Those Ben and I, they're just using the message. We had a message out to Bruce Serpent. All they're doing is walking around in circles. Their life has no purpose. But I never backed off. I just moved ahead. And I moved ahead. And like I say, I didn't know what this has got to do with anything of this, but I had a dream, so I figured I'll just talk about what's current, what the Lord is doing in this hour. What is he showing me? He told me in my heart, I never went back. Never went back to the colony. I never went back to the Denny guy. Never went to the Waller guy. I never went to the Joe Waller guy. Because I moved on, you know. They didn't want to give up their stuff, and I just moved on. With his visa or without his visa. The Lord made a way and I pulled through right up to here Friday. Never went back, not one iota. I never even thought about going back. And now all that ties together now. The reason being, I never went back to one of them. I never went to Tim Relaford, never went back to Faith Assembly, I never went back to the Mennonites, nothing. I just moved ahead, not knowing what's ahead. And then when they told me to pick you up, and then all hell breaks loose, and everybody's on our case, and it's open season in Saint Laurent, and But see, we never missed a beat. We just moved on ahead. As we had nowhere else to go. I mean, what are you going to do? You going to sit down somewhere and cry the blues? No, we just moved right on ahead. Right on ahead, and then, like, I'm like blindfold. I don't know what's all going on. All I know is I'm not going back. I'll never go back to none of them. And the Lord moved me on, and then, like I say, got to pick you up, and then he got me to write an exam, and then a week later, so he told me you had to write the same exam. And now the exam means now you get your diploma, now you go into the field working for the Lord. Mm-hmm. We're now, what's that scripture that says, vessels for his workmanship in Christ? Mm-hmm. That's what we're doing now. And it wasn't until here Saturday or Friday where the Lord let me know he never went back. It wasn't just the Heartland crew that I went back to. None of these. I always moved ahead. And now, like, we didn't just show up and do this living water thing. We went through this test. Never going back. We didn't show up to bring forth meat and do it. It was not our own initiative. And the Lord was stepping back and watching what we're going to do. Are we going to go back? Or are we going to move ahead? Every step of the way, we moved ahead. Mm-hmm. Like I say, when we got to pick you up, we're just going into another dimension. We're not going back, because who's going to allow us into their church? Nobody. But see, I saw it all, and in the meantime, I'm going through this New Year thing, through this Passover thing, and I see how Satan has hijacked it all, and the reason we qualify to get the record clear. We're clearing up the record. What the Satan has done for 2,000 years to distort the picture, we're doing it here today in one setting, cleaning up that old picture and yanking everything back into reality that he has hijacked. Like I say, he hijacked the first thing he did. He hijacked the water baptism. And we're bringing it back. When I saw water baptism in Jesus, I just went for it. I didn't even look back. Who cares what your parents think? Who cares if my dad baptized me in a title? Who cares? I'm moving ahead with the Lord. I don't care if your whole family turns against you. It doesn't matter. I'm moving ahead. I never turned back. I never looked back. Now here we are. And it was just this Friday. That's out of picture. How important it is not to turn back. The Lord just had to remind me. Same, you see that group of people there, their life is meaningless. At least your life has meaning because you never did turn back. And see, you got to see the whole picture, the whole concept, as whole package. The Lord tested us to see if we're going to be faithful or if we turn back. Because the Bible says, to him that turns back, my soul will have no desire on him. Imagine God having no desire on you. He didn't pat me on the back or anything like that. It wasn't just simple saying, you never did turn back. You always kept moving ahead. That's why you are where you are today, because you never did turn back. Never turned back. You always moved ahead. Always moved ahead. And we're still doing that today. We're moving ahead. And now what we're doing, he's qualifying us to get the picture out there and get it right. We got that baptism right. And we got that that Passover right. All you don't need is big, long, drawn-out sermons about what you should do and what you shouldn't do. You shouldn't go down on the ice skating, and they got all these long sermons. And here, all Jesus is required, same, just be grateful. Tells his disciples, just be grateful for what I did for you. It's all that Passover is about. It's all eating. And like I say, Satan has hijacked everything. Now he's hijacked. Now that he's hijacked that baptism thing, and he infiltrates the human race with his filthy, diabolical, satanic Nicaean baptism, and they've done wholesale, and they don't even know that they're partaking of leavened bread. Mm-hmm. Like I say, God is allowing it because he gave it to mankind. He gave his word to mankind. He's allowing Adam and Eve to do their thing. But before he did, he gave him his word, tree of life. Before he could let the devil do with mankind what he does. He gave them that word, make sure you do not partake of leavened bread. That's for you and I. We're mm-hmm. still partaking of unleavened bread. And we presented with the unleavened bread by the unleavened word of God. We're still part of that nucleus of people that has not perverted that word yet. Mm-hmm. And then Brother Jack goes up and says, here they come. Full speed. Couldn't even wait till it's burying. We're in third day. The 2 days are done. The midnight cry hasn't happened yet. That's all just diabolical satanic filth. Not worth even going across the street for. All of a sudden, all that garbage that you see out there, there's no words to describe the filth that they're trying to teach. Mm-hmm. And the Lord gave me the warning. Before all that happened, he let me know. I'm taking my church down to the water. I'm going to test them. To do what? To see who's going to qualify to deliver that meat in due season. No more busy eating than the Midianite. I'm looking for that one person. And he found you and I to be that people that found people to deliver that meat in due season. And then we saw the very important that we saw that midnight cry and that the Yom Kippur, mm-hmm. the true Yom Kippur. We're the only two people that see that when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven. Mm-hmm. We actually saw it happening. We were right waiting for that. We're kind of just before that. You got to get to Revelation how that mm-hmm. That seventh seal is. What's in that seventh seal? And you got the picture, then it started making sense. And then I went back and read it. And here it doesn't say nothing about signing a peace treaty or nothing. When he opened the seventh seal, all that was, you get to see for the eyes of the Spirit, silence in heaven. Mm-hmm. That's it. And sure enough, here, 2021, October the 15th, silence in heaven. Jesus off to see the mercies, the week of Daniel is on. Mm-hmm. Now, he didn't see no stars. You didn't see no big lineup over in Europe. You didn't see no two prophets mm-hmm. come on the scene.
And you know, look at all these 2 day preaching, the third day, and then there's a different side to that too. Hushing up the mm-hmm. people that want to tell you the hour and day we're living mm-hmm. in, like Tim Relliford, he will do everything to shut up that part and compromise with the 2 day crowd. And what the devil and in no matter which way, who you talk to, saying that you're in the third day, that makes you oblivious to what actually the time and hour that you're living
it's
in.
It's like a no-brainer.
That, uh-huh, and saying that you're after the 2 days, that will never get you anywhere because you can be in after 2 days like forever.
Yeah.
What day are you going to decide now is the day that I'm not going to be in the 2 day anymore, like really? And then the people that want to hush up when people tell them about the midnight cry, that it's they're all have, the devil has all the same agenda there is to make sure that people do not know the day and hour that you're living in. It's like you always tell the story about that red ribbon mm-hmm. around a tree, and then he went and looked for a shovel, and he came back, and there was a ribbon around every tree. Mm-hmm. So nobody really knew where the real ribbon was.
Yeah.
And that's what the devil's aim is, to not know, so people do not know the hour and the time that they're living in.
Yeah, that's what the train game mm-hmm. wants to begin with, to mm-hmm. just hide that day. Mm-hmm. And then when I came out with the midnight cry, I told it to Tim Relliford first, and then I shut it down at the carousel. They couldn't wait to shut it up.
Mm-hmm.
But see, the Lord already had warned me 3 days prior to that, that said, they're not going to put it on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, they thought, look, yeah, they didn't put it on there. Mm-hmm. Shutting it up. And then I'm the idiot, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm the one that told the truth,
that's
that they
right.
didn't want it.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what happened? Exactly what the Lord let me see, that he sets them on slippery slope and then he sends them down to destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gave me the dream about the minefields. They've all become minefields. They've all collaborated together to destroy everything but Jack's never taught.
Mm-hmm.
That's their aim in now.
Mm-hmm.
And we're standing here, standing strong, and we're day by day, week by week, we're yanking people back to reality, to that real New Year, to that real Passover, to that real, what that Passover really represents. Just be grateful. It's all God. That's all that God requires of mankind. There's nothing that you can do for your salvation. I wish I could ring it home, because when Jesus asked, he had two of the best, take him down to the garden, and he went back and found him sleeping. Not even they could 1 minute wake with him. He had to do this thing all by himself. There was nobody there, nobody to stand with him. Very one, the very best of the best. He went to help them fight this thing. They fell asleep. In fact, they denied him. Peter denied him. The very one he had down there to help him out.
All scattered.
And he had to do this by himself. You got to get that. There's nothing that you and I can do for our salvation. You can dress a dress code. You can join a commune. It's all just butterflies. They're all just fig leaves. Nothing there. Jesus did that all voluntarily by himself, and all he has for now in return. Just think about me from time to time. Whenever we have communion, that's what that Passover is about. Got nothing to do with the big long old sermon. Got nothing to do with not being able to go down and play on the ice. That's how Satan uses to distort the picture, confuse everything, that you don't know where you're coming to go. Got nothing to do with the dress code.
No. And even when you go to... there's the feast of the Passover, then there's the unleavened bread, to partake of the undefiled word of God, to stay with the pure word of God and not defile it with your false teachings. And then you come to the third one, which is the feast of the first fruits. See, when Jesus, like it says in 1 Corinthians 15:20, but now in Christ is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. Now, there's a lot of people. Jesus is the first fruit. He won the victory over death. He died and he rose again. And he went down to the lowest part of hell. And he came, went to set the captivity captive. He set the captives free. And because when the earthquake happened, the graves were opened. But after the resurrection of Jesus, the saints were resurrected. And that's why Jesus is the first fruit of them that slept in the Old Testament. And the people saw them in Jerusalem, the saints of old, they saw. And then they were able to be resurrected up when Jesus presented himself to the Father as the first fruit of them that slept. And the reason I'm saying is that there's a lot of people that worship on the Sabbath day. And when you go to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 16, then Paul talks about taking a collection. And he says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God had prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. In German, it kind of puts it pretty good. Jed behen ersten Tag der Woche. So they gathered at the first day of the week because Jesus rose at the first day. Jesus was a type of the Sabbath. He was that Sabbath when he was put in the grave and he rose again. That rest that we have because of what he did for our salvation, we are able to rest in him. He is that Sabbath. He is Lord over the Sabbath. And then he rose on the first day of the week, which was the Sunday, and the Christians chose that day for their worship then on. And a lot of people will say, oh, the Catholic Church perverted that and made the first day of the week as a day of worship. Well, we do it because of what the Bible says.
Yeah.
That the first day of the week, that the Jesus, the
which
first...
was Sunday.
Yeah, which was Sunday. He was in the grave 3 days. It's not like 3 24-hour days, but just a representative 3 days.
I see the importance of that.
Mm-hmm.
Get that cleared away.
Yes.
He wasn't in there 72 hours. He was in there before 6 o'clock. Back in the Jewish calendar, the day and the night starts at 6,
mm-hmm.
6 in the morning. It's not like midnight mm-hmm. here, where the Satan through the Vatican confuses everything.
That's
that
right.
You can't even make sense of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like when it says Jesus died at the ninth hour, you got to start from 6. 3 is would be 9 in the morning. 12 would mm-hmm. be 6 hour. But you, at the ninth hour, that's mm-hmm. 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. You gotta get it right,
that's
you know,
right.
Get the language right. But Jesus was dead 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So he was 3 hours prior to the 7th. Then all this Saturday. And then he rose after 6 o'clock
mm-hmm.
Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't before 6, because then it would represent not quite 3 days.
3 days, and then would have to be...
I'll say, let's
yes,
say, maybe uh-huh. quarter after 6.
That's right.
When that Mary went down there, and he just happened to just resurrect right about mm-hmm. then. I tried to figure out, it's still pretty dark there.
And it would have, if that would not have been in the first day of the week then.
Yeah. Yeah, so he had to be 6, whether it's a minute or an hour, however long,
mm-hmm.
as long as it's after 6,
mm-hmm.
not prior to 6, because
mm-hmm.
that's when their day starts, at 6 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to get that, no, it's not 72 hours, but it represents 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what the
yeah,
Bible
uh-huh.
says.
Yeah.
So we got to get the record straight. We got to yank everything back into the reality
mm-hmm.
of things, where everything makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, the devil can no more hijack nothing,
because
we got his number. We got the history.
Mm-hmm.
We know how it works.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the Lord took us through 30 years of his schooling, so that when the time comes, as it is today now, that we will know what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
We will not let these two-day crowd in here trying to pervert
mm-hmm.
us, trying to tell us that we're in the third day. What kind of stupidity is that? Like, it takes a no-brainer to even sit under such a garbage
mm-hmm.
and listen to us. Then the next guy comes up to 2 days or not. What's even more stupider?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, give me a break. The things that they're teaching, exactly what I saw. Minefields.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly what I saw. He sets them on a slippery slope, and then he sends them down to destruction.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because there's something in their heart. They're looking to be a big guy in the block. They're looking for that Nimrod, important guy. They're looking for this, like Peter. He'll always want to be the big guy in the block. They haven't even dealt with that thing yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then that breeds jealousy, and then envy, and then power trusts, and all the filth, all the fruits of the flesh.
That's
come out.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And instead of being yourself, see, we could be ourselves. We know what God created us to be. We're happy just
mm-hmm.
being what God wants us to be. We don't compete with nobody.
Mm-hmm.
What's there to compete with?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to compete against God. We just happen to find our place in Christ. We have to find out what God created us for. He happened to speak to me a number of years back. You know, make your calling and your election sure. I didn't know the depth of that, but I do today. I know what my calling is. I know what God has called me to be. I know what he's created me to be. He's created me to do exactly what we're doing. That's why he woke me up 2 o'clock in the morning one day, saying I'm coming soon. Something happened, my maker. I began to shift gears. I had no interest in anything for this world. And then later on, he tapped me on the shoulders, and we got, let's go. I got some work for you to do, and it's going to cost you everything. You got to be willing to lose your life. Well, I had no problem. I was all fired up, geared to go. I was not a happy camper all the time, but
mm-hmm.
I had joined speaker full of glory. I didn't know from one day to the next. All I knew. I knew one thing. That thing back there is not of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I ain't supporting it. That's all I knew.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I went, moved ahead. And so I couldn't get these hardliners. I don't know why they didn't come on board. Because, man, freedom? It's not the freedom I had. But something held them back. Maybe they couldn't get rid of the whiskey. Maybe they held on to that Hutterite dream. They wanted to be the Jacob Hutter guy. But somehow or another, I had to leave them in the dust. I'll go. You started about Chicken Little, you know. I
mm-hmm.
think a lot about that Chicken Little.
Mm-hmm.
But if you wanted to get everybody involved, you're going to plant the corn today. Yeah. There'll be one to plant the corn, so she ended up doing it herself. Mm-hmm. And then all the harvest, and then they came to eating the corn. Everybody wanted to eat the corn. Well, you weren't there with to help plant them. Now, all of a sudden, and the same thing about belling that cat, you know. Well, who's going to bell a cat? They were all taking pot shots at J.K. Well, are you willing to put your life on the line like I did? If I lose it, I lose it, like Esther. If you die, you die. That's what I had to do. And then God honored that, and God heard me, and he moved me on. And I put that guy out of commission. Clipped his wings. Single-handedly. Well, I saw something in the Bible about if you get two or three people to agree with you, God will do it for you. But it's going to cost you everything. You put your life on the line, and it sure did. That guy was like a vampire. Get rid of this animal. Get him out of here. And my dad, father-in-law, he was his hatchet man. If you want to get somebody, that's what I call him, his hatchet man. But if you want to get something done, he call on him. Get the job done. Bertel Spiegel. Mm-hmm. But see, I made it true. Well, I didn't know that that's where this is all going to lead to. That someday God's going to use us to bring forth that meat in due season and deliver that living water. I read a lot about come and drink out of the waters of life. Really, you know, you use your brains, your senses. I wonder what that water of life is. And here it is, the message for your day. It's always been. Always has been the message for your day. Mm-hmm. The message for your day now. And it's the same thing today. This is that. All you got to do is believe what we're saying. Doesn't matter what you did to us. We did it for you. Just like Joseph. He wasn't mad at his brothers. The Lord brought me here for your benefit. We're doing this for you guys out there. If you only can get yourself to place where you can believe. Like the Bible says, "Lasset I help and from this soon out to get lighted." The early church there. I mean, all they had to do was listen to them, what they had to say. It's the same thing. There's so much a person can say, and to you it makes sense. You know, why don't people see it? Well, we're trying to yank you back into the simplicity of the gospel. Mm-hmm. Satan's hijacking everything. Everything he can, he hijacks and he confuses the picture. You don't even know where you're coming to go. Mm-hmm. The new year is very simple. And once you start practicing it, I'll do a new year next year when the first new moon, that's the spring equinox, and you're going to see how it's kind of like makes sense. Like we're used to that now. We've been doing it for 10, 15 years or forever. And to us, it's like nothing new anymore. Mm-hmm. We just do it. And makes sense because now everything comes to life, you know. Now the resurrection is on today and everything is galloping towards. Pretty soon you're going to see buds. Mm-hmm. You're going to see dandelions out on the lawn. And everything comes back to life. But it had a starting point. It started right at that new moon after the spring equinox. Mm-hmm. And from there it just kept on going. And we're just here to present you, yank you back out of this confusion. A new year in January, when it's here in April 1 this year. And then this Passover, you got it so confused. All of this, all God was ever required. I'm going to send the Son. I'm going to send Jesus, and He's going to make everything right. And all you can do is be grateful and allow yourself to be like it says. I've hid these things from the wise and prudent. As we reveal them unto babes, such as would learn. Mm-hmm. All you got to do is be teach them, be humble, mm-hmm. like humble before. Got nothing to do with us. We're just doing our job, and I kind of like this job after a bit. Well, what else are you going to do? Mm-hmm. It's our job, that's what we do, and that's what we do best. And I thank God that He showed me these groups of people there. Their life is meaningless. They go through life and I see them. Well, their whole life has no meaning. Mm-hmm. That's simply because they didn't allow the Word of God to. Because at the end of the day, everything is going to be destroyed and you're going to be left with nothing. And then they're going to see us, and they're going to say, is that, we taught him to be a fool, like it says over in Isaiah 5. You want to read it. People don't realize how serious this is. We've been actually butchered and slaughtered and maimed and open season, you know what I'm saying? I don't mind. I didn't mind it. Why should I complain when I join speaking full of glory? All my needs met. 24/7 bodyguards. Heavenly bodyguards. Safety on the road. The companionship.
Then shall the righteous man stand in great boldness before the face of such as have afflicted him, and made no account of his labors when they see it. They shall be troubled with terrible fear, and shall be amazed at the strangeness of his salvation, so far beyond all that they looked for. And they repenting and groaning for anguish of spirit shall say within themselves, this was he whom we have sometime in derision. We had sometime in derision. And the proverbs of reproach. We fools accounted his life madness and his end to be without honor. How is he numbered among the children of God, and his lot is among the saints? Therefore have we erred from the way of truth, and the light of righteousness had none shined unto us, and the sun of righteousness rose not upon us. We wearied ourselves in the way of wickedness and destruction. Yea, we have gone through deserts where there lay no way. But as for the way of the Lord, we have not known it.
That's on the other side now. Right now, we're living stuck at a county. Wherever you go, them two. And we wear it with a badge of honor, but see, we feel for these people. Somewhere it'll be too late for them to repent. And they'll have missed the boat. I don't wish that on my worst enemy. It's just the way we are. That's just our makeup. And the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. But this is coming. This is reality. Now the page is turning. There he sits. The one we taught for scorn, the one we made fun of, the one it was open season on. Now the pages is turning, and he's, how is he counted amongst the children of God? We thought his life was useless. We thought he's the loser. But see, it's a different story now. Now reality sets in. And that's all we're trying to do. We're trying to shake people back into reality. I don't care what you did to me. What's the difference? We had a good time. Nobody has it better. Why should I be mad at anybody? Just grab a hold of this truth and at least save your own soul by going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Because what's on that other side? Once that marriage supper takes place, I tell you what. Oh man, you can't even wish it on your worst enemy. When he says, I'm going to go down there and I'm going to destroy these murderers and I'm going to burn down their cities. That's what's coming when you reject that, simply because you can read it over in, I think it's Matthew 22, where they rejected the invitation of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Go read it. You got the same Bible I'm reading, and I read it, it's horrible, where he said he's going to go down and he's going to destroy these murderers and burn up their cities. It's coming. Once that rapture takes place, all hell breaks loose. The man of sin is being released. He shall continue for 42 months. And who is that? That's Satan himself incarnates that boat. And he gives orders to do whatever. It's open season. And people don't just see the series of it. But we're trying every week to warn people. But they do it, and that's their business. Heavenly Father, we just had a conversation on your word, Lord. I just pray you take what's been said. I know it's all chopped up, Lord. Use it for your honor, for your glory. I pray you'll open the hearts of the people, Lord. Let them know the hour that we're now living in. We're only a few short years from the marriage supper of the Lamb, Lord. And we got it right. We know that you allowed us to see the day now we're now living in. And we're bringing it out to the best we know how, Lord. I just pray most of all, Lord, you'll open the hearts of the people and give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.